opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Welcome to the Louisville Family Fun Podcast. I'm Stephanie White.
And I'm Maggie Kimberl.
And we're your hosts weekly on Louisville.am.
I'm bored.
Hey, enough of that. There's no boredom when there's Lou Fam Fun.
Net. We are heading into the summer here in Louisville. I hope you are ready for the summer and you've been enjoying your spring. It seems like May has gone really fast, really, really, really fast, but I'm ready for it. There's a lot of things wrapping up in my life in terms of, you know, the children playing this sport or finishing up dance classes that I have to say, to be quite honest, I will love being able to come home in the evening and know that I'm not running off to somewhere else or pack so much stuff in the morning that I feel like I'm going away on a vacation, but really all I'm doing is going to work. But I had to bring so much stuff to make it through the rest of the day and feed everyone and change everyone for their different things that they have after school. It's crazy. So in the summer, we don't really have evening activities, so I'm looking forward to that. So I hope there's something you are looking forward to too, and maybe it's our podcast. What is our podcast about this week? We have an awesome guest. This is a woman that I met a couple of years ago when introduced to a group here in Louisville called GLOW, which stands for Greater Louisville Outstanding Women. And I'm lucky to be a part of this group because, I mean, I'm outstanding and I'm a woman and I'm in Greater Louisville. So of course I should be in this group, right? So this group was started by Holly Houston and Maggie, you know, our faithful, awesome, funny, smart podcast host. I can just keep going with the compliments I have about Maggie Kimball. She's fantastic. Our podcast host is going to be interviewing Miss Holly Houston here in a moment. She's going to be talking about all the opportunities around Louisville about like girl power. Okay. You know, girls leadership, taking those, smart and cool girls that are in middle school and just trying to find their way and molding them into future leaders and inspiring something with them within them to become our next leader. So girls leadership here in Louisville, that's what they're going to be talking about. So I just thought I would talk a little bit. We're talking about girls and leadership and all that good stuff. And I think that I do a good job at kind of leading the way on Louisville Family Fun, at least so I am told. I'm going to be humble, right? People tell me this, but I think that I have certain leadership qualities that kind of work to my advantage sometimes. I'm certainly not, as you can tell, I'm not too afraid to talk about myself in a positive way. I know that some people are, and I really want to instill in my daughter, I have a five-year-old who's also named Maggie. I did not name her after Maggie Kimberl. That just happens to be a coincidence, okay? Anyway, my little Maggie is starting to show signs of just self-consciousness, and she's five. And I don't think she's getting this from me because I am the type of person that I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to wear what I want to wear. And I'm not kind of trying to fit in some sort of mold. That's just the way I've always been. And I kind of say that to Maggie as well. My little Maggie, I don't make a big deal out of what I wear. Certainly if I look nice, I try to look nice if that is what I'm supposed to do that day, if I have an important meeting and things like that. But I don't make a big deal out of my appearance. But my little daughter is starting to have certain ways she wants to do her hair, or, oh, I want my ponytail to be down here, not up here, because that's where it's supposed to be. And I said, who said your ponytail's supposed to be there? You know, like, where are you getting these things from that there's a wrong or a right way to put your hair? And then the other day we were going to soccer in the evening. And like I was just mentioning, we run from here to there. I work full time. I do podcasts at I record them in the late evenings. I work all sorts of hours. So I have my times at which I have to pick up my kids and we're going directly to soccer practice or something. So I said, you know what, Maggie, to preschool today, you're just going to wear your soccer uniform and your soccer shorts. And when I pick you up, I will go ahead and I'll throw the shin guards on and all that other gear that you can't wear during the day. But it would just be so much easier if you just wear your soccer uniform. Your soccer uniform is so cool. Everyone can see you're on a team. And she put it on and thought, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, Mom. That's a good idea. You know, cool, Mom. High five. And then we're walking out the door, and she looks at me with these very innocent eyes, like nervous. And she said, you know, Mommy, I want a different shirt. And I just said, why? You know, I just explained that this is just going to be better. We won't be so rushed. We won't have to change our clothes. And she immediately just said, I don't want my friends to look at my shirt and think it's funny or think it's, I forget what she said, but basically to the point of, you know, everyone's going to think I'm weird if I'm wearing a soccer uniform because, you know, I don't see any other kids wearing soccer uniforms to school. And I just had a moment of like, oh man, you know, where are the days where you'd be like, you know, put this outfit on me. It's crazy. I love it though. Or put this costume and go out in your superhero costume out to Kroger. You know, are we losing those days? And I just think of my little girl and I think, you know what? I want you to grow up to be strong. And I want you to grow up to be focused on what you want and not what other people want you to be. And so if it's just this little soccer jersey that's kicking that off, a little part of me said, man, gosh, I've got to nip this in the bud. I've got to show her that she can be confident no matter what she wears. Because, you know, she was excited to have that jersey on until she realized she was going to school. And she, something in her mind just clicked and she changed her mind. And all of a sudden it wasn't cool anymore to keep that shirt on. So maybe Holly has some insight into building up our girls, particularly to be confident no matter what society is throwing at them and at these, at young impressionable girls, to just remain themselves and not be as, malleable in terms of changing what they want in order to suit some sort of mold. So it's very deep, very deep. But we're families here in Louisville, and we've got these, I'm always talking about family fun, but you know, when you get to the heart of the matter, there are things that you really care about with your children. And these are the things we care about. And it's much more fun to watch our children grow up to be happy and bold and do what they want to do and be confident than to see them have a little part of them cringe about wearing a soccer jersey to school that morning when they're five. So anyway, tune in. We'll see what kind of stuff that Maggie and Holly have to say about building up leadership in our young Louisville girls. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome back to the Louisville Family Fun Podcast here on Louisville.am. I am your host, Maggie Kimbrell, and with me today is Holly Houston of the Louisville Girls Alliance. Welcome.
Hello, Maggie.
So you didn't found this organization, but you work with them pretty heavily. So what is your involvement in this organization?
I am the mentor extraordinaire.
Okay, so you mentor young girls. And tell me a little bit about what does a mentor-mentee relationship look like?
For this organization particularly, what I do is less one-on-one and more group mentoring because the girls separate into sessions, the sessions that eventually will be Girls Idea Festival and part of the regular programming throughout the year. The girls eventually separate into groups for a STEM session and Women in Business.
Okay.
For
those people who don't know what STEM is, that's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Is
yes,
that right?
We can have a whole session.
And, yeah, and there's a great need for that in the general business community, but you know, particularly there are not a lot of women in that field. So why do you think there are not a lot of women in the STEM field?
Well, we have learned so much, and it's really neat because part of the mentoring that I do gets the girls connected to other people that aren't necessarily mentors, but probably more role models.
Okay.
And maybe light a spark in the girls to what they want to do later. There are girls in the program now that a few, I think, have science backgrounds. Several were interested the year before in media. They wanted to pursue journalism or television, some sort of media, which is another category, mm-hmm. along with STEM, is media and self-esteem. We had a meeting at Insider Louisville they were kind enough to let us sort of do a pitch for the STEM session and the Women in Business session.
Okay.
And Sarah, one of our girls who is a junior and was in our style show that was part of If Girls Rise.
Cool.
The night before the Girls
Idea
Festival.
Like a really, that looked like a really fun event.
It was really,
I saw
really
a lot
neat.
About that on social media.
Well, part of my role as well is to gather the people. So I got Sarah to Bourbon's Bistro, where Insider Louisville was hosting us for the evening, along with a woman named Joan Coleman. And Joan was previous president of AT&T Communications and is now a consultant. She's an engineer. She graduated from the University of Kentucky.
Okay.
And I think in 1985, which was a year before my brother graduated from UK as an engineer.
Okay.
And she was one of three women in her class.
Wow.
So our numbers have gotten greater for the girls that are in STEM programming of some sort, but they're not great, great yet.
Right.
And we're still spreading the word about those careers, because the careers are the wave of the future for these
Absolutely.
Young women.
And there's definitely, you know, even in the general workforce, there's a deficit in STEM.
Well, it's incredible. On one hand, the number of people we don't have, but then when you start to dig and uncover the groups, there are pockets of women in STEM, and there's pockets of STEM generally. But I think the consensus for the Insider Louisville meeting was that if Louisville could brand itself as a place to grow STEM, mm-hmm. and especially to grow STEM girls, then we may be able to attract some technology companies. And if we're able to do that, then the more companies we have that contribute to the economy as a whole,
absolutely,
the more we have to draw from. And if the girls are a part of that, even better.
Absolutely.
So part of what I do also with that is reach out to different groups and social media that, you know, is just an absolute grace, really, to have social media be what it is today. Because
absolutely.
We can find groups like Amy Poehler Smart Girls, and we can find Girls Who Code, and we can do Goldieblocks, and the girls can get excited about the commercial that Goldieblocks did over the Super Bowl.
Awesome.
It was just incredible, and really get some excitement going. We have a steering committee and Louisville Girls Leadership that is a senior, is one senior, and each one is appointed to one of the different four groups that we talked about for the Girls Idea Festival. So Olivia Barris is one of our steering committee members, and she is very, very STEM, pro-STEM.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really great. And we were, with her and Sarah particularly, they were really able to get a vision early of what they wanted the panel to be like.
Okay.
So at Girls Idea Festival, we had Amelia Gandara, who's an engineer. Well, she just graduated. And then we had Carmen Brown at UPS, who's an engineer. And then our headliner was Allie Trettman. And Allie founded her own company called Wicked Sheets.
Oh, okay.
And Wicked Sheets were developed by her to wick sweat from women going through hormonal changes to include menopause.
Oh, okay.
And she's creating some for babies now, too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And she's young, and the girls really love to see the younger role models because they can relate to them so much more than people like me who are basically their mom's age. So,
well, and it's not just that. It's like, you know, you've right. been plugging away at this for a really long time, and that can be discouraging for somebody who's just starting out. Like, oh gosh, do I really have to work that hard for that long before somebody recognizes my achievements?
Well, honestly, for these girls, no. And I again attribute that to social media, because what happened in my 20 years, let's say, the last 20 years for me, the girls can accomplish in almost light speed as comparison, just because of the connections that
yeah.
they can make. That, you know, Kentucky's fairly landlocked, and
right.
I think it's fair to say that we're not on most people's radar. So for us to be able to have this group of young women, and the young women to be able to connect truly throughout the nation, and some on an international level, is just absolutely amazing. So another woman that we had on our STEM panel was Erica Chavez Graziano, who's the owner of Cellar Door Chocolates.
Oh, okay.
And Cellar Door is now a $1 million company that she built. So
yes, we also, they have great chocolates.
Well, we call her a lot of names that go with those chocolates that may not be appropriate for this podcast, but she loves it and she smiles about it. The other person we had was Julie Gregory, who's a lawyer at Middleton and Reitlinger, who were a sponsor for the Girls Idea Festival.
Okay.
And then Libby Gray's a corporate lawyer.
Okay.
So that was our STEM panel, and they got to say a little bit about what they do, and the girls got to ask some questions, because girls' leadership has to be interactive.
Absolutely.
I think so many people, and not just girls, have people tell them their story, but then the girls don't really get to ask questions.
Right.
And you never know how to measure whether or not that's been meaningful for them.
Absolutely.
So at the end of the panel, what I was able to do was ask these women what the greatest mistakes that they've made were. So
ooh, that's girls, a good one.
Well,
because it's important to point out you can make mistakes and you learn from them.
And you will.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing. You will make mistakes. If you especially have a business and if you're growing, you're going to make a mistake.
Absolutely.
Allie was the first one to say that she didn't get a signature on a $10,000 contract in the beginning.
Oh, my.
Erica said that she never finished her thesis.
Oh, wow.
That she wants to go back and finish her thesis. So what's also neat is there's this ongoing growth that's part of the leadership development. And when I was on a panel at Bellarmine recently, I think one of the greatest lessons for these young women, and these girls are in their 20s, so they're a step up from high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really neat to be around the different age ranges.
Right.
But for the lesson I think that came out of the Bellarmine's panel was that you're not static. We're not going to be the same women. And these aren't going to be the same girls. Think about how much you grow.
Absolutely.
In the 10 years from high school, you know, from 18 to 28, think about the changes that you go through.
Yeah.
And then from 28 to 38, also huge changes. And then from 38 to 48, and then beyond and beyond and beyond. And for us to have an expectancy that a decision, one decision we make, will make or break our career or our life.
Yeah.
What was important out of, you know, a 4-person panel that I was on was that we continue to evolve. And with that, we're able to make new decisions. So getting these girls in the direction of I am able to make decisions for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can exercise good judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I can draw on people who have life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I can also know intuitively where I want to go and what I want to do and who I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So when we did this social media campaign for our If Girls Rise party,
mm-hmm.
and the IF part is for Idea Festival.
Okay.
Because we're an official Idea Festival event this year, and we will be next year, I'm sure.
That's going to be really cool.
Well, when we asked people to let us know what If Girls Rise, what happens after Girls Rise, it was so neat because everybody says, what do you mean if? It's when. So people changed their signs from the IF to when. We had so many young girls do signs, and their signs said, if girls rise, women will be president. And some older women did it too. Women will be president. So when we actually had the party, one of my girlfriends, her daughter came, and it's Ashley Parker, and she's a realtor here, and she owns her own business, and she's into a bunch of other stuff, very social and very business minded. So she's able to pull that off with the family, which huge balance.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Huge balance for everybody. Her daughter's sign said, if girls rise, I will be president.
Wow.
And that was our favorite one. It's my favorite one. I'll speak for myself, but that was certainly my favorite one. And it seemed to be that was the one that was most resonated with all of us, because they're proclaiming at 8 years old, not that they can be, but that they will be.
That's amazing.
And yeah. I mean, and who doesn't want to be a part of that kind of, you know, engendering what somebody's dreams are and then that they can be realized.
Yeah, it looks like a really fantastic movement. One of the things that I saw on social media that really spoke to me on a personal level was we are a generation that was told we can be anything, but what we heard was that we have to be everything.
Right.
And how are you working to kind of change that mindset with these girls? Or how is this organization working to change that mindset? You know, because there's a lot, you know, you touched on work-life balance. And there are a lot of things that, you know, you have to consider when you're, you know, choosing a career path and, you know, choosing, you know, the path you want to go in life and all that kind of stuff. And it can be difficult to say, you know, I don't need to be everything to everyone. I can do this and this, and those are the things that I choose to do well.
I don't know that it's registered much with the teenagers. Right. I know when I was on the Bellarmine panel, mm-hmm. particularly, and these are girls that are graduating and have graduated, that one of the young women spoke up and she said, you know, I get some negative feedback because I've chosen not to work. I have a degree. Mm-hmm. I want to raise my family.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a couple of the girls in session at Girls Leadership say, you know, I'm not so sure that I want a career.
Right.
I want to be able to have one should I choose to have one.
Right.
And I think the whole goal of the feminist movement was to make choices.
Absolutely.
So these girls, you know, I've thought about this in my own journey. We have so many choices.
Mm-hmm.
And these girls have more than I had.
Absolutely.
And they're the generations that come after them will have even more. So I think it's imperative to be surrounded by people who have had the life experience and that these girls understand that they need to ask for some input
mm-hmm.
when they're decision making.
Yeah.
And again,
it's good to have somebody to draw from, you know, if you have somebody in your life that you can draw from their life experience to help you make your decisions, that can be a great resource.
And for my example, I'm not married and I don't have any children, yet my parents have been married for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to talk to my mom about any kind of relationships, you know, my mom's 73 now, I guess.
Wow.
She's never going to get it.
Right.
Because she's never been single.
Right.
I mean, she went from her family to her college roommate to mm-hmm. my dad.
Yeah.
And she's always been with somebody. She's never had a single moment where she's been on her own.
Wow.
So a lot of these girls will probably, some of them at least, have more of an experience much closer to mine
right.
than a 50-year marriage.
Right.
I hope for them that if that's what they want to do, then by all means that that's what they do. But there's such varied experience now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's so important that we have representatives of all different women in what we do and the choices that we make.
That's an excellent point. You
right.
know, you have to have role models,
right.
not only for, you know, career-minded people, but also, you know, people who maybe don't want to do that. You know, and that it's okay. It's okay to make that choice because that's your life and those are your choices. But, you know, it's also nice to have the role models there in the business community to tell you, you know, you can do this, you can step up, you can, you know, have this career if that's what you want.
Well, the other part of that too is that the mothers who are educated, mm-hmm. they have a college degree, maybe a master's degree, mm-hmm. Work for a little while,
mm-hmm.
step out of the workforce,
mm-hmm.
either go flex time, part time, do whatever they do, maybe even quit for a while to
right.
raise families. Decide when their children, when it's appropriate for them, they make their own decision, of course, about that.
Right.
You know, or sometimes the economics are going to force them to go back to work, whatever it may be.
Yep.
They may need the double income. When they go back to work, you know, these women need to reach out to the other women that have been in the workforce the entire time
mm-hmm.
and say, I'm ready to work again. Where should I go? What should I do? Who should I talk to? So I think that the network that we build from, I'm going to even say children, honestly,
yeah,
because
absolutely.
With the STEM movement, it's the young girls that need to learn to code and get into science and not drop out of math and continue to be as strong as they are in all their subject areas.
Absolutely.
But if we start to build the network when they're little and they know that they can trust other women and be supported by other women or other young girls or whatever it may
mm-hmm.
be, and don't fall into the trap of she's more popular than me, so I
can sabotage
her.
Right.
Right. Or whatever it may be. You know, the ultimate goal is, I think, that we all nurture and support each other's decisions, whatever they
together.
May be.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a great goal to have. And that's a great thing to be teaching, because I think all too often, you know, young girls especially fall into the trap of being competitive or being clicky and all that kind of stuff. And it's really not good for women as a whole. You know, we need to band together. We need to work together.
Absolutely. And part of what the girls' leadership teaches these girls, because they're both public and private school. Mm-hmm. So you have a socioeconomic mix.
Right.
That I think opened some eyes to what it might be like for someone who doesn't live quite like you live. And I never think that's a bad thing.
Right.
I don't see how that can be a bad thing, frankly, in any group.
Right.
To have a perspective that's not yours. And since we're a compassionate city, it opens some thinking that may have not otherwise existed. And I think that's how you debunk a lot of stereotypes. And it's been really neat to watch these girls work together.
Well, that sounds like a really awesome program that you're involved in.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that you came and talked to us about that, because I think so many parents need to get out there and, you know, find those ways to empower their girls. You know, it's one thing to provide an education and, you know, support and all that kind of stuff. But I think empowering the young girls and teaching them how to empower themselves and how to band together and empower each other is kind of a big deal, you know. So I'm glad that we have this organization, and I'm really thankful that you are participating in it. And thank you so much. And it is now time for our Friday Funny.
A guy walks into a bar with a duck on his head. The bartender says, "What can I get you?" Duck says, "For starters, can you get this guy off my butt?"
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Holly, for being with us today. I really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time.
I love Louisville Family Fun. Thanks for listening.